Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Thank you for the good special, and thank you for the testimonies, the good season of prayer. Most of us are very much aware of 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you've been saved any length of time, you've no doubt heard the story. I do think it's sad that this story oftentimes is referred to as a children's story. Certainly it's for children, but this story is for all of us. There's some great life lessons in this account of the Scripture. And I've just gone through and I've tried to draw some principles out that I've written down that I want to share with you this evening out of this passage of Scripture. Just a little background. If you'll remember last week, we talked about how that God had spoke to Samuel and said, listen, I want you to go tell King Saul, who was the first king of Israel. He was the people's king, the people's choice. And God said, you know, go tell him I've rejected him, that his kingdom will not extend, and I've got me a man after mine own heart. I've chosen me a man. And so Samuel went into town, and of course, you know, the people asked him, you'd come peaceably? And he said, I come peaceably. And we looked through and navigated through that, how that he anointed David. Now, he had told Samuel, God had, to go to the house of Jesse. And he told him, he said, there's someone in that house, one of his sons I'm going to choose. And we know how that he went through each one of them. And finally, you know, Samuel was kind of put in a little dilemma. And we talked about that, how that, you know, you just know God told you to do something, and yet it's not connecting, it's not happening, right? And he said, listen, Jesse, is this you know, all of your sons? And he said, well, I do have, you know, the youngest one. He's out caring for the sheep. And he said, well, you know, go get him. We're not going to bring this thing to a close or take a break until you bring him back. And you know the story, how that in chapter 16, I think it's here in verse number 13, if you'll just glance there, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And there's just a lot to be said about that. You know, there's always people saying, well, now, God couldn't do that. Well, God did do it. God did do it. So, well, I don't understand that. Well, God, listen, there's a lot God does that I don't understand. Right? Amen. I will say this. Oftentimes, when God, I think this goes together, when God removes his hand from a person, it leaves openness for the enemy. And that's very, very possible what's going on here. I don't have all the answers of exactly what took place. I just take the Scripture at face value in case God tells me not to. And I take it just as it is. God said, listen, you don't want to do things my way, then you got to deal with the consequences. You want to do it your way, then you have to deal with the results that your way brings, right? By the way, that message is still true. You know, say, well, I'm going to do it my way, preacher. Well, now, be prepared to face the consequences that your personal way takes over God's way. And I'm not saying that in any other way other than just to let us know and to inform us that God has a way. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, right? It seems right. Oh, but the end thereof are the ways of death, destruction, you see. And we heard out of the testimony, out of the mouth of Marcus tonight, you know, we're to trust in the Lord. And in all of our ways, you see, we're to acknowledge him, not us make those decisions. So this is what happened here. And there's something that happened. This is where we left off. Look in verse number 19 of chapter 16. Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, because as that evil spirit came upon him, he realized, and someone had said, you know, maybe music would be therapeutic to you and would bring a healing. And by the way, good music can do that. I love to listen to just good music. It's therapeutic. It really is. God uses music. God uses music. Now, the devil can use music too, right? Yeah, but God uses music. And so here, there's some things I don't want you to miss now. So here's David with a skill, and David is not one of these young people that's just sitting around saying, well, I'm going to wait on God to put me at the top. You know, this young man was anointed as the next king of Israel. You know what he did? He went back to work. He went back. Look, when Saul sent for him to come to the palace to play the instrument, by the way, he had a testimony in the community. Read it here. His advisor said, you know, there's this young man. Let me find it here. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters. I mean, this man's wisdom above his years, you see. Here's a young man who has some direction and some purpose in his life. He's not just kind of frivolously, with no aim, going through life, just waiting on something good to happen. He has taken initiative, and he is applying some things so that when God gets ready to call his number, he'll be ready to do what God's called him to do. Now, that's a good lesson for everybody here, but in particular, our young tonight. All right? So, in verse number 19, well, you know what? Go get him. You know, and he sends for them. And the scripture says, wherefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. David had gone back. Now, this lets me know something about David that's very important. He was a humble young man. He was humble. And sometimes when we get a little advancement, or we get what you might want to call a promotion, or we get moved up, if we're not careful, we'll let that go to our head. And that can happen to anybody. And we'll think, well, you know what, I'm in charge now. But I see here where David, he understood. I don't think David fully grasped all that was taking place. I'm not even sure that anyone in the house of Jesse did at this point. But I can't help to know from what we're going to read in just a few moments here, David did know God has his hand on my life. Now, I want you to notice very carefully in verse number 13 where it says, from that moment now, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Now, the Spirit of God comes upon you, you know it. So I don't know about it. It's because it's never happened to you. Because I'm going to tell you something. When the Spirit of God comes on you, you know it. Amen. And I'm not talking about some wildfire emotion. I'm talking about a humbling, a humbling experience, an empowerment, an enablement, a conscientious, an awareness that God has his hand on your life. So David, though he may not have understood all that was happening, God brought an awareness through his presence on David's life that he was now getting involved for this aspect of his life that David had prepared for. All right, so you're with me. Now we come to chapter 17. After David had, he kind of had two jobs, all right? He was keeping the sheep down at his father's ranch, and then he would run up to the palace and he would play in the palace for King Saul. And so he was moonlighting. He had a lot going on, all right? And that says a lot about a young man. He wasn't staying in the palace. And we you can tell that. If you'll read chapter 17, you'll tell that he was not there in the palace at all times. He would go there and he would do his duty. But when he was not doing his duty, he went back and cared for the sheep, all right? Now, there's some principles here. You know the story. So I'm not going to go into the story in detail. If you do not know the story, I encourage you. It's one of the greatest accounts of Scripture in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 17 is one of the longest chapters in the Old Testament because it's filled with great truth and great principles. So I just want to pull some principles out in our time that we have tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. All right? Now, you know the overall story. So, you know, there's this big bully giant. Here's the God's people, Israel, and here's the Philistines. And so they set the battle in array. In other words, there was on one side there was the Philistines, on one side there was the Israelites, and there was a valley. And so the battle was in array, and then this big giant comes out, Goliath. You read his measurement, over 9 foot tall, pretty big guy. And by the way, I just want to make this very clear. I was thinking about this past week. This is not, I thought about you, Brother John. This is not WWE. All right? There's no fake blood. These people are fighting for real. I just want you, now somebody's saying, oh, I don't like the preacher saying that. Well, don't make me have to say it again. This is the real deal right here. Life and death, my friend. Life and death. So don't you in any way think this is a video game. All right? Life and death here. These people are fighting to the death. And so don't you think now that David's just getting all brave and then knowing that, well, you know, at the end it's game over and then I've got 9 lives left. Oh, no. This is the real deal that he walked up on. So here comes Goliath, and as Pastor David read, 40 days calling them out and saying, hey, there's no need for all this bloodshed. We can just take care of this in one simple way. I'm the champion of the Philistines. Now, you've got no doubt have the champion. I believe that because Saul, when he was chosen by Samuel, the scripture says he was head and shoulders above the others. And I believe that this Philistine had him in mind. Now, I can't prove that, but I believe he had him in mind. I believe he said, send Saul out here. Let's see what he's got. And me and him will go at it. You can read this now. And whoever wins, well, the loser will serve the winner. Right? If I lose, the Philistines will serve the Israelites. If your champion loses, then the Israelites will serve the Philistines. And boy, I tell you, let me just share with you. Look at verse number 11. The scripture says, in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, verse number 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed. Now look at this next phrase, and greatly afraid. Okay? Now, they were not just intimidated a little bit. I mean, they were terrorized. Like, why? You know, not me. I'm not going out. You go. No, you go. Right? Well, you have seniority. Amen. You go. And even Saul, look what it says. Even Saul, verse 24 says the same thing of chapter 17. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. So, I mean, this man had intimidated and he had put fear in them. Now, I want to look at some principles. What's God going to do here? What's God going to do? God is going to take this young man and he's going to put him in a position where he can gain the respect of those in whom he's going to lead. And so he's going to give him an opportunity. And so don't you think now, you know, me and Brother John have this thing, what a coincidence. I want you to notice what happens here. Look, if you would, in verse number 15, it says, but when David, chapter 17, verse 15, when David returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So he would go to the palace, as I said, and he'd play for Saul, and he had some duties there, but he did not shirk and set aside his responsibility that he had at home. He had a responsibility there too, and so he took care. And this just says a lot about the character of a young man that God's looking to use. All right? Then it says in verse number 16, the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said to David, now watch this. I don't know this, but I sense this, and I want to make this very clear. The Bible doesn't say this that I know of, but I sense that maybe it was drawing to a close because 40 days had passed. And I think the Philistine was saying, listen, either we're going to do this or we're not. I mean, 40 days, come on. Either you're going to send somebody or not. And so then the Bible says right after that in verse 17, Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren, an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren. Now, You say, well, what a coincidence, because when David got there, all right, this is all in God's timing. Now, what's this showing? God is in control. We believe in the providence of God, right? We believe in the leading and the guiding of God in our lives. We don't believe in coincidences, right? Amen. Listen, young people, you can count on God to guide your life. You can count on it. So here was a young man, and no doubt he was thinking, well, I've been anointed king. I mean, that flask of oil that Samuel poured on me and was anointed king, but Saul's the king. How's this going to take place? Well, listen, you do, now here's the first principle. You do what God's given you to do where you are and leave the results to God. God will get you where he wants you to be. I'm telling you, if there's something that you need to learn in life as a young person, that is God knows how to navigate your life to get you where he wants you to be. You don't have to help God out. You just do what God's given you to do. When God gives you orders, fulfill them, and God will take care of the rest. When I see this, I see here's Jesse, been anointed as king. And here's this bully of a giant out here calling Israel out, defying the armies of Israel, defying God. And here's David, no doubt, pondering in his heart. What was all of that that took place with the anointing? What is all this about? The man of God anointed me to be king. Saul's king. There's an army. How am I going to challenge that? I don't want to do that. But God is teaching David something here. And he's teaching David, listen, you do what I put in front of you. I'll get you where you're going. Oh, I pray to God that you'd get that tonight. I'll get you. We get so concerned about the next five steps. You just take the step that God's put in front of you. Somebody say amen with me right here. I can't tell you how many people I've seen mess their lives up by getting concerned about the fifth, the sixth, the seventh step. Take the first one that God's put in front of you, and God will show you the second one, and then the third one, and then the fourth one, and then the fifth one. It's a great principle in the Scripture. And so here it is. God said, Jesse, it's time to send David. And David said, Jesse said, David, come. And he said, I want you to go, and it was read in your hearing, and I want you to take this. And I want you to see how the brethren, in verse number 17, I want you to see how they fare. And you take them and take their pledge. And then in verse number 19, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, which means he didn't shirk his responsibility because he wasn't clear exactly what God wanted him to do, so he kept doing what God said to do until God told him differently. And then the Scripture says, and took and went as Jesse had commanded. Another great lesson. Another great lesson. God may call you to do, he may call you to be king. God may call you to do big things, but you'll never get too big for your britches to where you can start disobeying your parents. Amen. Listen to me, young people. You say, I want God to use me. He'll use you to obey your parents before he will most anything else. Amen. 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 God can't use a disobedient child. If you can't honor your father and mother, then how can God trust you to honor his word? Somebody say amen with me now. We've gotten away from this. We've gotten away from this, and we think, you know, everything's built around children these days. Hey, can I tell you it's not? I love children. I love young people, and I love children. But children have a place, and it's not at the top. Amen. 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 So, the preacher doesn't like children. I love children. And if you're here and you have children, you know I love your children. I pray for your children. I want to see your children saved and serve God. But we don't worship children, and we don't build our lives around children. Amen. Children don't call the shots at 63 Hemlock. I just want you to know. Amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you, we have some parents that's got some serious issues. You take charge of your home, sir. Amen. Amen. It's important. It's important. We have people that are going to their children. Well, what do you think? You think they know? Listen, it boggles my mind. God said, you train up a child, not for the child to train you. You train up a child in the way he should go. Say amen now. I'm not being mean and nasty and ugly and foul-spirited. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. And we've gotten away from it, and our homes are all out of whack because we become lazy loafers. We don't want to take a spiritual responsibility to train up our children and tell them no and yes and this way and that way and instill some principle and some character in their lives. It's so important. It's so important. And so David, when his father told him to do something, I like how the Holy Ghost here said in verse number 20 that he took and he went and he, as Jesse had commanded him, even though the man of God had anointed him, the man of God had anointed him as the next king of Israel, he said, I still want to do as Dad said do. Amen. 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 And he went, and as he got there, notice what the scripture says. He said he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, I want you to watch how God works now. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. See how God's timing is always on time. Always on time. Preacher, how is God going to get me where he's promised me, where God wants me? One step at a time. One step at a time. We live in this day of fast, express, drive-through. Everything's got to happen overnight. Listen, that's not God's way. That's not God's way. Learn what it is to wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. He'll direct your path. God will get you where he wants you. Amen. I'm just 100% sure. I say what I say on the authority of the Word of God. God will get you where he wants you. Please don't think, well, I've got to help God out. Old David, little David could have been over there thinking, God will never get me there. Saul's still in power. He's still in reign. He's still the captain of the army. They're in battle now. How am I going to get there? Well, God will get you there, David. You just keep doing what God said to do until he changes your orders. He'll get you there. Great principle. All right? Number two, not only are we to stay busy, and David did, he did, but we're also to have the right perspective. I want you to notice, and I've got to throw this in because this doesn't hurt either. Amen? Look, if you would, in verse number 25. I literally, though we know this, you kind of read this, and it does me anyway. I kind of laugh out loud. David, it didn't hurt to know that the king had promised his daughter a lot of money and that there was going to be no taxes on the family property. That sounds like a pretty good deal. Hey, man, you go up there and take care of this giant, right? And man, take care of this giant. But did you see it there? Look in verse number 25. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, watch it now, number one, the king will enrich him with great riches. That's a pretty good motivator. King will make you rich. Look at number two. And he will give him his daughter. Number three, and make his father's house free in Israel. In other words, no taxes ever. No IRS to deal with. Amen. That's a good motivator. And yet not nobody, no one stepped up. That'll give you just a little bit of an insight, maybe how intimidating Goliath was, right? It didn't shake David up, right? Why? David had a good perspective. Everybody else, and here's the second principle, and I may just get two or three of these because we're going to spend some time talking about David on Sunday nights. If you don't get anything else, number one, remember this. You do what God's told you to do. Don't forget our first principle. If God's given you instruction, and there's not a person in here that God hasn't given instruction, God will never leave you without purpose and instruction. Please understand that. God doesn't leave you in the dark. God's going to give you instruction. Do that until God gives you further instruction. It's very important. Sometimes we get so eager and so anxious that we just want to get there, and we think, well, you know, I think God wants me to do this, and we just jump because we get impatient or whatever the cause. So do what God's told you to do. Feed those sheep now. Care for those sheep. Nobody may know, but God knows. All right? Nobody may see. It may not be, you know, celebrity status. It may not be up front and center. But God knows, you see. He's watching. Why? Because God sees in private. God sees in private. You listening? Our private lives prepare us for public life. Is that right, brethren? David said that. How are you going to take care of a giant? He said, hey, I've been on the backside of a rolling hill, and there's been lions and bears, and God delivered them. God's going to deliver this Philistine too. What's David saying? God prepared me for this public situation here in a private matter. Your private prepares you for the public. Great principle. Great principle to understand. Your Bible reading. Hear me now. Your prayer time. The way you treat people and the way you do, when no one else is looking, God's looking. God's looking. God, that means something to Him. God wants to see if He can trust you with the bigger task. If God cannot trust us, if we cannot be faithful with the small things, God will not make us ruler over the greater things. The Bible teaches this. Jesus Christ Himself taught this life principle. Say, well, I want to do big things for God. Well, start off doing little things for Him. Sure. Be faithful with the little things. And God will graduate you. And God will put you in position to do greater things for Him. Let me give you this last principle. Everyone else was looking at the giant. This is called being giant-dominated versus God-dominated. It's perspective. Now, I don't know what your perspective in life is. I think I know what most of yours are. But young people, again, I want to help you. And I want to help all of us. But when you're young, it's good to get this perspective down. You can go through life looking at Goliath and saying what the children of Israel said, how big he is and how strong he is and how these things are going to crush me and I can't do this. You can go through life that way now. I can go through life that way. Or we can see how big God is. What's your perspective? When you look at a problem, when you look at what life brings you, do you look at the problem and how big that is? Do you have big problems and a small God, or a big God and small problems? That's really what it comes down to. When you read this account, you will find where all the people, all the men in Israel were saying, there's no way we can do this. There's no way we can do this. This guy is huge. He will crush us. You know what David said? I like verse number 32. Verse 29, David said, is there not a cause? He said, what in the world are you guys doing? You know why? God perspective. God dominated, not giant dominated. When you go through life, don't be keeping your eye on your problems. Get your eye on your problem solver. Listen now. You have a choice. I have a choice. We get to choose. Right? I can't choose what happens to me, but I can choose how I respond to it. You can too. Right? Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think that David had any idea what he's getting ready to walk into here. He couldn't choose what he was getting ready to walk into, but he did get to choose how he responded to what he walked into. And while everyone else was giant dominated, oh, Goliath this, Goliath that, David was talking about God. God this and God that. While everyone else was talking about what Goliath could do, David was talking about what God could do. Amen. Have a God perspective on things. Have a God perspective. Let me read a scripture to and we'll close for tonight. Notice if you would, in verse number 32, the scripture says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. See, everybody had been talking about, well, you know, that big old giant, that armor and that spear, you know, boy. And David said, basically, he's saying, King, don't worry about him. God's going to take care of this. Amen? I like that perspective in life. I'm not going to sit around and fret about some problem that I can turn over to God by the grace of God now. Now, I think everyone in here has fret and worried when we should have trusted and prayed. Right? And so David said in verse number 32, he said, Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go. Amen. He said, oh my, there'll always be those. We'll get into that another time. There'll always be people. Boy, I tell you, David's family tell them you can't do it. Hey, young folks, listen to me. Even adults, hear me out. Who's telling you tonight you can't do it for God? Who's telling you you can't serve the Lord? Is it your family? Is it your brethren? Like David? Even his father didn't have the most confidence in him. He left him on the backside when Samuel said, bring in your sons. Right? Goliath put him down and said, I'll feed you to the dogs, boy. You are nothing to me. Right? Saul said, you can't do it. We just read Saul, his leader, said, you can't do it. But God said, David, you can do it. And David believed the voice of God over everything and everyone else. And there's just times in our lives where we will be put in this very same situation as far as, is it going to be the voice of the people or the voice of God? Whose voice are we going to obey to help us to make the decision of the action that we're going to take? Let's stand to our feet. Now, this account is very familiar. If you haven't read it, let me encourage you to read it again this week. All right, 1 Samuel 17, it is tremendous. It fires me up every time I read it because I know it's so. I know here is a young lad, and it is just amazing how God emboldens him and empowers him. And gives him this. He is just breeding confidence, and just it's just flowing through him. And he's basically saying, "Let me at him." Everybody else is saying, "You know, run," and he's saying, "I'm going to run, but I'm going to run toward him, not from him, because God is on my side. And if God be for us, who can be against us?" Amen, church. Amen. Hear me now. The Lord is our very present help in trouble. Right. Hebrews 13 says, "The Lord is my helper." God's going to help us. God's not going to leave us. God's not going to put us in a battle and then leave us to ourselves. God is our helper. He fights our battles. Our weapons are not carnal. No. We have the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit of God. We have resources to fight the battles that lie ahead of us. God's our helper. Let's bow our heads together. The principles that I feel that God is helping me with and that I want to share with you will be coming in the weeks to come. Tonight I've shared just a couple.